Tonight, we're here live tonight. This is the 16th day of November. My, how time flies. The 16th day of November, here we are, and we're declaring tonight the question. Now, we're going to settle it before this is over with. Stay tuned. Don't move your dial. And stay tuned. Get your book, get your notebook, get your pencil, your pen and paper. Get your Bible. Most of all, get your Bible. The most important question of the ages was the bloodline of David, the son of Jesse. Was it from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Joseph? Now, let's go back and see if the Messiah, who was to come from the throne of King David, or he was to sit upon the throne, and there are scriptures that indicate that he will. Let me give you a scripture to really look at right now to establish this right up front. You'll need the scripture. This is a powerful impact in scripture upon the doctrine. So get it down in your notebooks. For those of you that are studying with Pastor Buddy, get your notebook. Psalms 132:11. The Lord, I'll use this for the sake of those who don't know about Yahweh. And of course, you know about the tetragrams. And surely I shouldn't have to bring you up to speed, but we're trying to teach the lambs. We're not teaching sheep. We're teaching lambs here in a certain sense. So the King James Bible, the one we're reading from, I know Lord is a generic term, and I know the implications of the word Lord, but bear with me here, and I'll explain to you some other message about the word Lord, how it was added to the text, and how the YHVH was taken out. So the Lord, Yahweh, hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Listen to this now. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. Do you really understand the impact and the magnitude of what is prophesied here by Yahweh himself? Do you really know what he really said? Well, let's refine it. Let's shake it down, and let's see what we come out with here. Of the fruit of your body, I will sit upon the throne of David. And in mercy shall the judgment of the throne be established. And I will sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:5. Israel's promised Messiah, the Redeemer, it says, will come from the bloodline and the lineage of King David. That he himself, Yahweh, in a flesh body, Yahweh Shua, will actually himself incarnate into the earth under or through or by the lineage of David. Well, now, let me show you something very contradictory in the Bible. And for those who do not understand the magnitude of this great mystery, you see, it takes a preacher to unravel the ball of yarn. It takes somebody that Yahweh has chosen and gifted for this very purpose. And then you walk by faith. You have to receive the engrafted word that is anointed through the preacher. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he descend? And the preachers are like foxes on the desert. They howl and hoop and holler, most of it in the traditional denominational system. We got a few outside the system that are preaching truth. You know, the Bible said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everybody wants the spirit. They want to hang on the rafters. They want to do their Pentecostal shundai. They want to run up and down the aisles like they're on fire. But when a man of God with the truth comes in, it cuts her shouting out. My question is, did they have anything to shout with to start with, or they were just shouting in vain? They were shouting around a golden calf, ladies and gentlemen. Shouting don't mean a thing. Large congregations that are assembled in these stained glass cathedrals of tradition don't mean a thing. What really matters is you, yourself, as an individual, will stand accountable personally. Now, I'm giving you a personal invitation before the time arises, before it comes to pass, where you'll have to stand and give an account to the Almighty Yahweh Creator. Your tongue will confess everything that you have done, heard, seen, or believed as He searches your heart, and in that day, truth is going to be the most magnanimous of importance, and I can't stress how important the truth will be in that day. Now, in this day and time, if you don't want to hear the truth, just go somewhere else. You can get something else. If you go to this church and you don't like the way the preacher looks, he's not saying the right things for you, go somewhere else. You'll find somebody that's preaching or singing your song. But let me assure you, when you're on your search and you're going through life, why not go for the gusto? Why not go for the whole, if you will, crown? And that's what the Bible said we strive for. Every man's running a race for the crown. But the Bible said you can't be crowned unless you strive lawfully by the Word of God, by the truth that brings division. And remember, Christ didn't come to bring all this patty cake, the baker's man, fall off the wall and we'll put Humpty Dumpty to back together again in a Babylon application of tradition and ignorance and fear and superstition. No. He came for the raw, naked, gut-wrenching, backbone truth that it takes to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, we have the promised Messiah, Redeemer, that He will come from the bloodline and lineage of King David. Matthew chapter 1. Well, here it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Matthew 1:1. Now, is it true that Jesus Christ was the son of David? Well, let's throw some confusion in here as we go, and we're going to go over to a scripture where it says a little bit of the contrary. If you go to Mark chapter 12 and look in the book of Mark, you'll find a very, very contradictory statement by Christ Himself when He says Himself, He says, how say that the scribes is the son of David? For David himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, or my master said unto Yahweh, I am the master of the king, and I'm saying to Yahweh, Yahweh, you sit on the throne till you make your enemies 5-foot stoop. If David calls Him Yahweh, how then is He his son? That was the question. That was the question he posed to him. And that throwed them back, because all the prophecies in the Bible are written for the prophetic utterance that Christ, Yahweh, incarnated into a body of flesh, will sit upon the throne of David. And is it, I just read you here in Psalms, that He said that I'll swear that I will, in truth, I'll swear in truth that I will, of the fruit of the body of David, sit upon the throne of Israel. Now, when the Messiah came, was He the son of David, as the Bible says? When it says here in the 12th chapter of the book of Mark, how do the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? Well, was He the son of David? Yes, He was. Well, why did He question it? Because He was more than the son of David. Oh, you say, well, buddy, I don't understand what you're getting at. Well, if you really, really want to know, if you'll go to the book of Revelations. Listen to this now. Chapter 5, verse 5, concerning, it says, his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And this is an acknowledgement that Christ, the incarnation of God himself, the literal incarnation of God walking the earth, that he did choose the bloodline of David. And that's why that I'm on the subject. I'm going to prove that David wasn't a Jew. Oh, you are? Yes, I am. I'm going to prove it before the night is over. And you need the proof. And if the proof is that he wasn't a Jew, well, then we can say honestly that indeed the Jews are not God's chosen birthright people. They're just chosen as 1/12 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember now, we got the house of Judah and the house of Israel. The house of Israel up north comprised of 11 tribes. The house of Judah was a separate house that the Father acknowledged and divided kingdom when they wanted a king. Well, lo and behold, Yahweh sent this man David, who was himself out of the 10 northern tribes, down to Judah to rule over Judah and unify the kingdom, which is the only king that did the complete unification of the two houses and extend the covenant that Yahweh promised the house of Israel. And he said, I found David my servant, a man after my own heart, the only servant, the only king, the only one that he distinctively gave this honor to was King David. Now, why would he do that? Because he said, I found David a man after my own heart. But now listen here, Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Oh, now wait a minute. What did it say? The root of David. Now, if Christ was not the son of David, but he was the root of David, in other words, he progenitored, he's the author of the seed line of David. Now, does that change the nature and the very complexion of who this bloodline, this royal bloodline of, no wonder we call it holy blood, holy birthright. Now, if you go back to Genesis 49, and if you look at the application, and we have read this to you before, but we'd like to remind you tonight to read verses 22, Genesis 49, 22. Turn there, if you will. Read 22, 23, and 24. Now, when you get down to the 24th verse, it is the end subject of the blessing pact that Jacob, the father, gave to, the distinct honor to, Joseph, the 11th son of his strength, that came from his loins. He chose Joseph to have the birthright, the 11th son. Now, all the other sons were jealous. Isn't this a type of Christ? Did you know that Joseph didn't reveal himself? He became a very obscure, hidden one. Did you know that the truth is hidden from the wise and the prudent and those that profess it in a, you see, they carried on in Israel just like Joseph was still there, the birthright son. The birthright son wasn't there. You can't inherit without a birthright. Christ could in no way inherit out of the birthright. No one has any authorization, covenant pact, or law to give them authorization to inherit the throne of Christ, to sit upon the throne, other than they would be birthright covenant bloodline. Now remember that. Genesis 49:24 says that the stone shepherd Messiah, this is the stone that was rejected. Now here's the dilemma. This stone, this bloodline, Christ, was rejected and killed. Now, who killed him? The ones that will not acknowledge him today. They're Antichrist. And yet we give them the heritage and the honor of being Christ or God's chosen people. How dumb, how silly, how ignorant, how confused, how deceived can the masses of people be that support them that are Antichrist and yet dare to say that they're blind, when it's actually the other way around? We've been deceived to thinking in a certain thing. The Bible says in Revelations 2 and 9, I know them that say they're Jews and are not, and you found them and tried them, and you found them to be liars. 3 and 9 says the same thing. A confirmation that you better watch. that somebody's out to deceive you, and somebody has. They have led you to think that they're God's chosen people when in reality they are imposters. And remember, I did the Masquerade Tape series last week. We're still fresh in the memory of that. And here we are on the offspring. I am the root and the offspring of David. Remember that. Now let me repeat this. I've just given you something. If you have any spiritual ability to reckon and reconcile the differences of your thought and collectively gather your spiritual intellect, if you have fasted and prayed up, this is for the elite, this is not for the run-of-the-mill average Christian that's going to get confused and don't know what the next verse says. If you ain't studied up, prayed up, if you haven't fasted up, this message will lose you in a heartbeat. This is far, probably, perhaps, in over your head. But let me assure you that if you're sincere and you want truth and you're not going to back up from the truth, regardless of how strange or how fictional it sounds, or how unusual, well, I've never heard this message, Pastor Buddy. I've never heard anybody say that God Almighty himself was the root of David. That David's bloodline was distinctively, honorably from the blood of Yahweh. Well, that's where we get back to the birthright. I've been saying this all along to say this, that the most important question that you must ask yourself, and I'm appealing to you and your spiritual intellect, I'm making this appeal to you to search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You ain't got none. Oh, you say, well, I went down to the altar and I confessed Jesus and glory to God and he's my Savior. And how much Bible do you know? You know what Christ said in that day? Many will stand before him and say, well, Lord, haven't we done this? Lord, haven't we done that? Lord, haven't we done this? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Are you going to be in one of those that stand before him and hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, and you confessing that you went to an altar somewhere and bowed down, and you signed a confession book, and you got baptized into the first this, and second that, and third this, and Jimmy Jiminy this, and Benny Hooley that, and you are now a member of the international community, and God loves everybody. If you're out of that class of thinking, you're in for a rude awakening on the day of judgment. You better dig deep. You better make your election and calling sure. You better pray and you better fast and you better seek the Father while you've got a day left in your life, because you ain't promised tomorrow. And today's the day of salvation. And if you don't know what salvation's all about, if you don't know what name it's in and what bloodline it came in, you're missing the whole story here. People ought to come from around the world, and some people have, to listen to this message. You need to hear this message in its entirety. Of these things that I can't even get into on the radio, they throw me off. And so I have to be very careful of where I go and keep the respect of those that sponsor the show and some type of semblance of sanity here, because as they accuse Paul, you're mad. Paul, you're beside yourself. And when they hear this message, they say the same thing. I have people to write me, Pastor Buddy, I've never heard nobody talk like you. I've never heard anybody bring things out that you bring out. And you've confused me. Oh, I thought I was a Christian. I felt secure. And now I don't even know whether I've been saved or not. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that that's the biggest favor that I've ever done, to make you examine yourself and see where you stand with the Creator, if so be? Now, if not, if you're one of those advanced students and you're up and you're on the same page I am, you're operating on the same page, listen to this one now. This is Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. How about that? I am the root. First of all, he was the progenitor of David. And then he became the son of David. Now, most people get the cart before the horse. They never think of where David came from, and they never bother to go back and see. They just say, in the genealogy, Phares, which was a Judite, he's in the bloodline of David, and that makes Christ a Jew. You better read a little bit further. You better go a little bit deeper. Somebody has inserted out into the bloodline, and we're going back into the bloodline, and this is so intensely complicated And I'm so limited in my application of trying to explain here within the reasonable time that I have. If you would come and spend days at our festivals, we're in 3 weeks. I teach 3 weeks, three 8-day festivals. 2 8-day festivals and 1 3-day festival, and then we have special meetings in between. But I teach 365 and a quarter days a year. I teach all the time, somebody or myself. I'm full time in the ministry, and we've got people that, like I said, that's gone on airplanes and spent enormous sums of money to come and sit at my feet and listen to and take notes about the things that ain't been told, about the things that most people never hear and will never hear unless they have a preacher. Now, Yahweh sends every once in a while to each age a somebody. In other words, there shall come out of Zion, Romans 11:25-26, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer to turn Jacob from his ungodliness. In the latter days you shall consider it, and the revelation of David being the offspring of the very bloodline that the Messiah, Christ, came through as the son of David. Now, have you ever heard anything as complex and confusing and confounding as I just indicated there? The most important thing, who was David and what bloodline did he come from? Well, let's go back and examine in the Bible. We got to go to the Bible. Now, if we go to the Bible and explain to you what the Bible says, we must go. We're going to hunt the genealogy. Now, normally I would start in Ruth. If you were here and I had 100 people I was teaching, I would get on a whiteboard. I don't use a blackboard, but I get on a whiteboard, and I would outline the genealogy, and I would prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yahweh Himself fathered the bloodline that He Himself would eventually come through. Now, this is amazingly complex, but it's all biblical and well-founded in the scriptures, but you got to rightly divide it and have somebody that knows the understanding. That's what Satan has done. He's confused. He's thrown confusion. Now, the Bible said that where there's confusion, there's ever evil work. Well, the Bible said that Satan comes to sow tares. What is tares? Something that to confuse, something to darken that which should have been clearly seen from the foundation of the world. Even His eternal power and Godhead should be seen here. And we should know who He is. He was God, Yahweh, incarnate into a flesh body through the bloodline of David. And David himself had a bloodline progenitor back to Yahweh, the Almighty Creator. I'm going to prove that. Let's go. Now, remember, everybody says, well, see, Christ came from the royal tribe of Judah. Pastor Buddy, you just read it there in the book of Revelations chapter 5, verse 5. Well, have you ever read the Greek? Are you sure that the English text is correct? Why don't you go back and take a look at the Greek, the true rendering of the Greek, where it says, behold, here it is again. Let me give it to you again as it is written in the text of Revelations 5:5. So we'll see exactly what it says here in Revelations 5:5. Now, notice, here's what it says. And behold, I, the lion, well, now wait a minute. Was Christ a lion or was He a lamb? You say, well, the Bible says He was a lion. Oh, really? Where does it say that He was a lion? Well, let's come back and see exactly what He was. He's the lamb that overcome the lion in the Greek. In the English, it was the lion that overcome the lamb. Now, ladies, you can't have it both ways. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't have it both ways here. You either have to be on one side of the equation or the other. Because it was the lamb that overcome the lion, or the lion that overcome the lamb. This is the issue that's brought up. But the way the English version, they leave the lamb plumb out. It says, behold, I have overcome to loose the seals. Now, wait a minute here. That don't sound right, does it? Does it sound right that the lion overcome when it's the lamb that is to overcome in the Bible? It was the lamb? You say, yeah, he was the lamb of the tribe of Judea. Well, Judea is a symbol of the lamb. So how could, well, you say when in the book of Isaiah, the lamb and the lion shall lie down together. Well, I'm glad that you've got that kind of knowledge. So if you believe that, well, then listen to what it says here. We got to have one to compromise the other. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Well, that had to be Yahweh. If he progenitored David in, David was born before Christ. Now do you get the message? Well, is that what the Greek says? Let me give you the Greek rendering. Out of all things, the interlinear Greek Hebrew, and this is the Hendrickson edition of the J.P. Green. Now, I know Mrs. Green, Mr. Green has already passed away, and he's already dead, but I know his widow, Mrs. Green, that lives out in the state of Arizona, the great state of Arizona. And this was a wonderful man, and he is the author and the publisher of this edition of the Greek interlinear. You get the Zondervan. I have a Zondervan also. I have this one that belongs to Dr. Jack that I borrowed over there from him. And notice what it says. Behold, I, the lamb, have overcome the lion to loose the seals. Isn't that a monkey wrench into the tradition of man? Behold, I, the lamb, have overcome the lion to loose the seals. Behold, I, the lamb, have overcome the lion to loose the seals. Greek. Somebody translates over into the English and they left out the lamb. One has to overcome the other. Is it the lion that overcomes the lamb? If you were betting on a beast out in the field to see them approach each other, you'd probably bet on the lion. Well, that's what 99% of the Christians have done. They bet their bottom dollar on the lion of the tribe of Judah to loose the seals. But is that true? Now, let me give you another little earth-shaking revelation here. In the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34, in the English, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. English translation in most Bibles. Greek, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Entirely two different things. We've been taken down Primrose Lane. We've been taken for a chariot ride to hell, believing a lie without examining the preponderance of the evidence. The Bible said, search the scriptures. What do you search for? You search to see where somebody has changed the scriptures. Now, the answer may surprise you when we ask the question again, was the bloodline of Jesse, the father of David, from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Joseph, Ephraim? Now, let's go again. We've quoted this scripture for you before. Turn to 1 Samuel 17 and 12, and let's see exactly what the bloodline lineage of David was. Now remember, Christ was the son of David, and Christ was the root of David. Oh my, if you can see the importance of this one revelation, you'll get the whole scope of the deception of the serpent and the Canaanites who have crept in unaware to steal the blood and the birthright. Now I'm going to repeat that. If you can just get the message here of the impact, the importance, the magnitude of this very astounding revelation. 1 Samuel 17:12, now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judea. An Ephratite. Now, I question the Bethlehem, Judea. Now, y'all know that I do that because Christ was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. I didn't prove that. He was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, geographically speaking, about 36 miles north of where they say he was born in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. No, he was not born. But there's something else. There was. Now, would you trust a wolf? You may have one dressed up as your Sunday go-to-meeting preacher. Oh, you say, oh, buddy, he's a precious man. He prays for the sick. Satan can quote more scripture than most preachers can today, backwards rather than forward. Satan has been an old, ancient authority in searching scripture. And so then, no marvel for Satan and his angels and their preachers. You say, I didn't know that Satan had any preachers except you. Most people think I'm a child of the devil. Well, that's what they thought about Christ when he came. They said, your daddy is Beelzebub, or you're inspired, or you're directed by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Oh, yeah, they killed him. And the Bible said they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. Well, they are doing God a service. The God of this world, the God of forces, the God of evil, the God of power. It was all offered to Christ, and he rejected it. All the glamour, all the church entity, all the Babylonian institutions of stained glass windows and mortar and brick, precious stones and everything. It looks glamorous. And that the Jews are God's chosen people. These are all lies that I repute right now and say that if you're no well more Bible read than to believe that, you've swallowed the lie of the serpent. And the Bible said he's crafting to deceive the very elect. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're scaring me. Turn again to 1 Samuel 17:12. Now, let me give you the Strong's number for the word E-P-H. Let me spell it for you. E-P-H-R-A-T-H-I-T-E. Anephratite. Now, Jesse was the father of David the Ephratite. Now, that happens to be Strong's number 673. 673. An inhabitant or a descendant of Ephraim, Joseph. Now, let me repeat that. Ephratite, fruitfulness, Ephraimite. An inhabitant or descendant of Ephraim. I dare you to look it up in your Strong's. I dare you to look it up in your concordance. Why don't you write me? I'll send you a copy of it, a photocopy. I'll send you a copy of the ancient maps where it lists Bethlehem Ephratah in the mountains of Bethel, where the name of the Hashem, Yod-Heh-Vav-He, is written by the finger of Almighty God right in the mountain chains of Bethel, where he slept on a stone, where Yahweh wrestled him all night long and had to actually cripple Jacob because daylight was coming on and he couldn't be seen down here. This was Yahweh himself wrestling with Jacob, and you thought Jacob was a little puny, weak-kneed, knock-toed individual. He had power to wrestle with the mighty ones. And you know what Paul said? Many of the ignorant, unlearned, wrestle with the scriptures to their own death and destruction. But they that have been weaned from the milk, they that have graduated from drawing from the breast of Babylon, the deceit of the artificial, the seem-right church, into the church that is right, I'm telling you, you'll be 180 degrees turned around. You'll do a 180-degree circle. I'm telling you, you'll change, you'll turn. When you get the rest of the story, when you get the truth that's stranger than fiction, you'll know what this pastor is talking about. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, thou shalt grow. Listen, Isaiah 11:1. Write it down now. Isaiah 11:1, and thou shalt come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, who was this rod out of the stem of Jesse? Do you know what he's saying there? In other words, right out of Jesse's bloodline, there shall come the branch. And everybody and their grandmother knows, that studied the Bible long, knows that that's referring to Shiloh, Messiah, Christ, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. So then, let me read it again. 11:1, Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod. Remember, Yahweh said in Revelations 22:16 and Revelations 5:5, I am the root and the offspring of David. Here's the prophetic utterance right here in the book of Isaiah, the preacher that walked naked through the land for 3 years. Yeah. And you think I'm crazy? You think I'm foolish for preaching what I preach? When Isaiah went naked through the land, crying the same thing I'm preaching tonight, and hated for my efforts, despised, cast down, forsaken, and very few to support and help me, to hold my hands of truth up. But I'll tell you, the Bible says that they that reject truth would be better to have a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the sea than to put this truth that they hear behind them, because it'll be the very weight or burden that will hang them at the judgment seat. Because the Bible says, in that day they'll say, Lord, when did we see you? When did we hear you? Oh, we listened to Benny Friend and Jenny Win-Win, and we fell well for fall well. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I was trying to build an organization or a university of conjectured thought of political correctness and miscegenation and preaching blood covenant, we're all God's people, whether we be this or that, oh, that'd be very acceptable, and I'd be a Mr. Goody Two-Shoe. And I could put me on $1,000 hand-tailored suit, $1,000 pair of shoes, and get me a Learjet, and maybe I could fly across America preaching the gospel of Babylon. But I'd rather ride a mule and cross the mountains preaching the truth than to ride in a Learjet preaching a lie and at judgment lose my soul. For what do you gain if you gain the whole world and on that day hear him say, depart from me, you compromiser, you miscegenizer, you truth breaker, you covenant breaker, depart from me, I never knew you. You did the works of evil. Oh, it seemed good. Yeah, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. From such, turn away. What hinders you from hearing the truth? Uncircumcised ears. What hinders you from seeing the truth? You don't have any eye salve of truth to rub in. You don't have many preachers like Pastor Buddy that comes to make your eye even itch, let alone give you some anointment of truth to clear your eyes of the tradition and the evil. Well, Pastor Buddy, don't say nothing about Christmas now. If you do now, my wife's got the tree up and I've got the decorations ready to go. Glory to God, and the children are all gathered around. They're looking forward to Christmas. I don't believe in it myself, but it's just something the children like to do. You lying, weenie, wimp. You think Yahweh would choose a stem like you to come out of? You ain't got backbone to stand against something. You'll fall for everything. You say, there you go, knocking Christmas again, and I guess you're against Easter too, ain't you? Yes, I am, the bunnies and everything else. I'm against it. I cry out against it. The evil, the sin. I cry out against the false Sabbaths and all this foolish malarkey that they got going on in this day, and preach the gospel of truth that comes against those things. And what do you get for your effort? I get a home in heaven. If so be I stand faithful. If I continue on to the end, you see, this could get very, very dangerous before it's over with. I might have to give my head. I might have to lay it on the chopping block or denounce what I believe. Are you man enough to stand tall and take the heat and stay in the kitchen and preach the truth to every creature? Oh, they stoned Stephen. They beat his head in when he preached the truth. Do you expect any better treatment? Oh, yes, I want an air-conditioned, a very comfortable seat to sit in. I want the preacher to lull me to sleep. I want to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And I want a chill to run up my spine. I want to feel good. I want to look good. And I want everything that comes at me to be the same. Well, I got news for you. This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Not many will receive it, but them that do, and them that hear, and them that obey, because it is the doer not to hear. Oh, yes, a lot of this time this message stirs them. Say, sick them, Pastor Buddy. Get them. Sick them. that you yourself sit there indifferent. You need sicking yourself. You need kicking out of that chair and your pot belly. Get off the junk food you're on and turn off the foolish tube, the devil vision, and get in line with the word and get into the book and understand what's on the other page or understand what's written under the page. That's the most important thing. An Ephraimite, a descendant of Ephraim. Remember, Strong's number, 673. Look it up for yourself. If you want to see what that number is in 1 Samuel 17:12 that describes the bloodline of David and Jesse, look it up. Now, if you want to see where David and Jesse came from, well, isn't that Obed? Didn't Obed father Jesse? Did not Jesse father David? Well, then who would Obed be if Jesse was an Ephratite and David was an Ephratite? Who would Obed be? Oh, he was a Jew. Oh, get real. Can you be born twice out of a different stem of bloodline genetics? No. How ignorant. How ignorant can we be to declare on one hand we're this and then on the other hand we're that when genetics don't lie? And it's all about genetics anyway, ladies and gentlemen. You see the sin of miscegenation and cross-blooding. You say, oh, there's no harm in that. God loves everybody. You're lying. God does not love everybody, especially them that break his commandments. The Bible calls them liars, and no liar will have their part in heaven. They will have their part in the lake of fire, because the Bible said, whosoever loves Yahweh and keeps not his commandments is a liar. It's plain and it's simple that if you don't keep yourself unspotted from this world and keep your bloodline pure and not go after the strange flesh that they were going at as it was in the days of Noah, we've got the same thing going again. America's coming down because of her sins. But let me assure you, after the ashes, there shall arise the bird of glory, and it won't be that 13-talent hook eagle with his claws, clutches, and the olive branch. Oh, I just wish the symbology would come to pass, but not in this day, not with this organization. No, 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 no. This is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. She'll come to an end, an untimely end, and out of those ashes will arise men and women that love Yahweh and fear him, and from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, they shall call him, and they shall serve him, and he shall hear them. He shall be their father, and they shall be his children. And from one new moon to the other, Isaiah 66:22-23, from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all of the house of Israel, the chosen ones, the family of the whole earth, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, shall come and worship before him, and there shall be springs of water flowing from the tree of life, which is the precious olive tree. There's no fig tree in the midst. Remember, the fig tree got cursed and no fruit would be on it. It's the olive tree, ladies and gentlemen. How dumb, how deceived. Isaiah 22:22. Let me give you that scripture. Man, it's a good one. Remember, I'm going to give you the text of, and the question is, who was Christ and from what bloodline did he ascend? Now, we've got a $1,000 reward. Dr. Gary has urged me to up it to $5,000. I'll keep that other $1,000 just because I might lose the bet. That's Dr. Gary's money. And he might hang me to a sour apple tree if I can't prove this. Well, do you think I'd be ignorant enough to get up and put up a $1,000 board for anybody? Anybody? Oh, that'd be Mr. Fall Well, Fall Up, Fall Down, or anybody else, Mr. Benny Winnie Hen, or whoever that wants to challenge a prophet of Yahweh that has a flame of fire. He said, I'll make my ministers a flame of fire. What is fire? Truth. What will truth do? It'll quench. It'll burn out all the dross. It'll make pure gold out of impure particles. It will change you. It will save you if you'll continue in the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Here it is in Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. I will lay upon his shoulder the key to the house of David. I'm giving you the key. And nobody don't want it. Everybody's been indoctrinated. Jesus was a Jew. Oh, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea. Who told you that? The scribes. Well, the Bible said not to believe the scribes, to beware of them. Oh, but that's what the Bible said. Now, it didn't say nothing about there in Matthew chapter 1. It came to pass that in the days of Herod the king, in Bethlehem, Judea, Christ was born in a little manger. And we're going to have those manger scenes all over the earth, and everybody will dream of a white Christmas and a happy new year. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that they won't be a happy Christmas or a happy new year either if you don't line up with the truth. There'll be no snow where you go. It'll all be melted by the heat where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If you can't take the heat, you better get where you can, because it's going to get hot in the kitchen before it's over with. And I assure you of that the key of the house of David, and I'll bring forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who was Jesse? He was an Ephraimite. Christ came through the bloodline of Jesse the Ephraimite. What would Christ be? An Ephraimite. What he say was, he was a Galilean born in Bethlehem Ephratah. I've got the proof. You'd like to have it tonight, why don't you just call Pastor Buddy? I got to get out of here. My time has flown. My address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number, call me tonight. I'm live, area code 423-626-2172. Call my good friend, Dr. Gary. Tell him that you'd like to have his $1,000 or send him $1,000, be better. That's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, and Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7321. Tell me you heard Pastor Buddy on the show, and I'll be much obliged. I got to get out of here, folks. My time is come and gone. Let me remind you, next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will continue on What Scribes Do, of part 2 of the 5-part series on Holy Blood, Holy Birthright. Until then, may Yahweh bless you. I'd like to hear from you this next coming week. Just mention you heard Pastor Buddy on the show, Holy Blood, Holy Birthright. I'll send you out information. Remember to love us and send us a tithe. We need your help. Keep us on there and let our voice be heard around the world on WWCR, the mighty voice that goes around the world on shortwave 5070. Until then, Yahweh bless you.